Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome, and I thank you so much for being here. This is Rick Rickma, your hard-working mortgage guy at Advisors Mortgage Group. And if you have any mortgage questions, you need to contact me. Go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Or you can call me at 317-215-7600. And I got to tell you, when I started in the mortgage business, it was over two decades ago. And one area that was a mystery to me and pretty much to everyone I worked with was, where did the mortgage rates come from? So you get the rates, you sit there and they pop up, here's your rates, but where are these things coming from and why are they moving? It was a mystery. And so I worked with a lot of very experienced loan officers. And so I talked to many of the loan officers that have been in the business for decades, and they passed their wisdom and knowledge down to me. At least that's what I thought. One of the secrets about mortgage rates they dispensed to me was, drum roll please, if I want to know where mortgage rates are headed, I needed to watch the 10-year Treasury. And you know, after watching the Treasury for 6 months or so, I quickly realized that many days mortgage rates did exactly the opposite of what you saw in the Treasuries, and I couldn't understand that. So then I decided I was going to go online and I was going to investigate it, and I was going to find out where these rates came from. And to my surprise, I learned that mortgages were actually sold as mortgage bonds, as a mortgage bond security, and that was a much better indicator on a day-to-day basis of where rates were. Now, I'd worked with people who'd been in the business for decades, and they did not know this. And there's still many, many loan officers who do not. And that is where the rates seem to come from, and that's what seems to affect the market. And, you know, about 3 years ago, I was very lucky in meeting a guru on the mortgage-backed security bond market and mortgage rates. And today, John Iacona, mortgage market guru and Advisors Mortgage market analyst, joins us to help you understand the recent past, you know, what's happened with rates in the recent past, why that's happened, and in the near to mid-future, what are rates going to do and where are they headed? John, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick. It's a pleasure to be on the show again. I think this is my hat trick, right? This is my third appearance.
I think so. Yeah, I don't let just anybody on here, you know.
you have to be follically challenged.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can't have hair. That's a requirement. But you know, it is true. What I just said actually is what happened, and I followed people online and everything else, but you understand the market as well, if not better than anybody I've ever met, and as well, if not better than anybody I've ever followed on the internet. So, and I really do appreciate it. You do a show every week so that loan officers really know what's going on in the market. And so yep. I just thought it'd be really helpful if you dispense some of that wisdom on us here today in Indiana. And you're out in New Jersey, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
All right. That's what I thought. That's where every time I go out there, that's where you are. But what happened in the market last year to give us those extremely low rates that we enjoyed?
All right. So let's, I'm going to start by talking about bonds a little bit, mortgage-backed securities or bonds. So let's talk about the relationship real fast. So when mortgage-backed securities increase in price, interest rates go down. And when mortgage-backed securities decrease in price, mortgage rates go up, okay? So now that you have that kind of background, so where were interest rates going back a year, maybe even a little bit more than a year ago? So let's talk about when COVID hit. When COVID hit, so the Fed came out and they said they were going to perform quantitative easing, or QE. And what that was they were buying $120 billion in mortgage-backed securities and treasuries. Billion would it be per month to try to help stimulate the bond market to make and help interest rates drop. That's what happened. So they were doing that every month. And what they were also doing is they have this, so when a mortgage gets paid off or it matures, the Fed gets cash, right?
Right.
What they were doing is they were actually reinvesting that as well. And so they're reinvesting on top of the $120 billion, probably around another $60 billion. So they were buying a lot of mortgage-backed securities, the number one largest purchaser of mortgage-backed securities, and they were causing interest rates to plummet to historical lows.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know back then, I remember there was first when COVID first hit, it went crazy. The market,
yep.
I mean, rates went way up. Everybody was scared. Mm-hmm. They brought out all these crazy new rules. And then it took like a week and all of a sudden everything was going the opposite direction.
Correct. That's what they went the opposite direction because they began their and they implemented their QE, their quantitative easing. Yep. So now that occurred around when COVID started, right? Was it like March, I believe?
Yes, I think so.
And that's and then it continued, right? It continued to continue. Now, fast forward to where we are currently. Right now, the Fed has been speaking, and what they're talking about is they're actually they have been lowering or quantitative tightening their QE, their quantitative easing. So they've been lowering the amount of purchases. So the $120 billion per month, they're lowering that by $30 billion every month, and it keeps on increasing, and it should be done by March of this year, next month. On top of that, which any time they mention this, is this balance sheet of theirs. So the balance sheet is $8.8 trillion. Now let's go to a word with a T. Trillion dollars, okay? So they have this balance sheet with the T, $8.8 trillion. $8.3 trillion of it is mortgage-backed securities and treasury notes, all right? So what they're saying now is they're going to start unloading that as well. They're not going to hold it anymore. They're going to start selling. They're going to be net sellers. So now they're done with their QE, and now just today they actually spoke right after the CPI report, which was released as it is 1982. It was the highest CPI report, the consumer. And after the CPI report came out, I think Fed President or Governor Bullard spoke, and he said that the Fed's going to start shrinking that balance sheet sooner than later. So now you have no more QE, and now you have the selling of the balance sheet and no more reinvestment. So that's why you're seeing mortgage-backed securities fall off of late and drastically today. Bonds are down 69 basis points today. So for every 100 basis points, it equates to roughly 0.25% in interest rate. But it's not an exact science, but it's give or take. But about, so again, 100 basis points, about 0.25% interest rate for the worse. So when bonds fall, interest rates go up by about that much. So right now they're down 69 basis points on the day. So that's kind of what's going on right now. So now there's another weapon the Fed has, if you want me to keep on going deeper into this.
Yeah, I think it's interesting for people.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the Fed also could raise the Fed funds rate. So now there's a huge misconception with this. When the Fed hikes the Fed funds rate. So the Fed funds rate, what is it? It's the rate that banks charge one another overnight for when they lend to each other. That's all it is. It's not a mortgage rate. It's the Fed funds rate. So when that is zero, which it is right now, it's zero to 0.25. When it is in this kind of low bucket, it's money's like free. They send it back and forth like crazy, and it's inflationary, actually. When they hike the Fed funds rate, it's deflationary because it actually makes it harder to lend money to one another because it's more expensive. So what happens? It slows down. Bonds are down 80 basis points now. Just got worse. So anyway, when the Fed hikes the Fed funds rate, it slows down the money supply a little bit, the bank back and forth between banks. So that's actually, it curbs inflation or lessens the bite of inflation. So that actually could help mortgage-backed securities. Mortgage-backed securities hate inflation because it lessens the return on your investment. If a mortgage-backed security yields 2.5 and inflation's 7.5, which it was this morning, you're negative 5, right? It withers your return on your investment if you're a bond trader. So bond traders hate inflation. So when there's something being implemented that curbs inflation, bond traders like it. So if you want to look at when the Fed hikes rates, what happens? Usually interest rates improve. Isn't that amazing? So it's very different than most people think. You see ads from some mortgage company saying interest rates are going to go up, the Fed's going to hike rates. No, they might go down when the Fed hikes rates,
right?
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to keep in the back of our minds too. So if you hear news about the Fed hiking rates, that could actually help our mortgage rate situation.
Perfect. After the break, we're going to talk more with John about not only what they're doing currently, but where he thinks mortgage rates are going to go in the next couple of years.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rikma.
Welcome back. This is Rick Rikma, your hard-working mortgage guy with Advisors Mortgage Group. If you would like to get a hold of me, if you have mortgage questions, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com or 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. And we're talking with John Iacono, and John is he's a mortgage market guru. He understands the mortgage-backed securities and the mortgage market better than anybody I've ever met. And John, you were talking about how the MBSs, the mortgage-backed securities, what's affected them, where we're at, you know, recently, what's going on, mortgage rates have gone up. Can you elaborate maybe a little bit what you think in the near future, what's going to happen?
Sure. I mean, listen, we don't have a crystal ball, but we can kind of try to look and get a good grasp of what's going on a little bit better. You know, so we were talking about the Fed, their plans, and how they're going to be, working with their reinvestment program, the QE, the QT, and their balance sheet. So I think as their balance sheet rolls off or sells off, you're going to see a fall off in mortgage-backed security pricing. And you'll see interest rates continue to increase. So I think interest rates will continue to increase going forward over maybe the next, it depends how fast this roll-off occurs, but probably over the next year or so, okay? You might have these little legs of a lower interest rate market, like a little tiny refi, like I don't want to say bubble, but like a period of time where you might be able to get some refis in. I think when the Fed increases the Fed funds rate, because, again, it's very deflationary, and you'll see a positive reaction in the bond market when that occurs. And when bonds increase price, interest rates go down. So you might see a good reaction. Actually, I have proof of that. If you look back in time and you take a look at the 10-year note yield, again, what Rick was saying, it rates don't come from that. But it's a good kind of forecast. It's a good thing to look at because it kind of helps see where bond traders will make their next move. Because rates do come from mortgage-backed securities or bonds. But if you stretch a 10-year note yield chart all the way out and look at it at a little bit further away, it basically kind of mirrors interest rates, right?
Right.
You're going to have some days that are going to be way off, and that's what Rick was mentioning. Some days it'll be majorly off, and those are the days you probably need them to be on, and then it'll really burn you if you're a loan officer.
Exactly.
So
yep.
That's just how it happens, right? But, the 10-year note yield, you stretch it out over time, yes, it trades kind of with interest rates. So now you look at a chart of the 10-year note yield, right? And then you look at what happened to it over time. Well, on December 1st, 2015, the Fed hiked interest rates by 25 basis points or 0.25. And what do you know? From December 1st all the way through September of the following year, interest rates fell. Okay, so the Fed hiked the Fed funds rate, interest rates dropped. Then inflation occurred. Other things happened in the economy, and interest rates started creeping back up. Well, December 15th, my birthday, December 15th of 2016, the Fed hiked again. So they waited a year, and they hiked rates again, I think by the same amount. It's another 0.25 or 25 basis points. So from December 15th, 2016, all the way to September 5th, 2017, interest rates fell again. So it's proven. If you look it up, look at the 10-year note yield, stretch it out. Look at December 1st, 2015. Look at the yield. It drops drastically after the Fed hikes. Look at December 15th of 2016. The 10-year note yield drops drastically for the next year. So this stuff makes sense, okay? So looking at this stuff, if the Fed hikes interest the Fed funds rate, you may see, again, a little surge in refinances because I think interest rates will improve for a little bit. But with all that being said, you're going to see rates increase a little bit. You might see little segments in time of interest rates getting better. But I think, I know, another thing that could help interest rates in the future would actually be, believe it or not, a recession.
Right.
During recessionary periods, interest rates drop as well. Okay, and so a good forecaster of a recession is the yield curve. So if you take the 10-year note yield and you subtract it by the 2-year note yield, when that number, that new number, goes negative below zero, then it actually forecasts a recession. And if you look at it historically, every time it went negative, a recession occurred. So there, analysts, experts, if you look at the 10-year note yield currently, it's dropping. And experts and analysts are saying that it should be occurring within the next year, year and a half as well. It should go negative. So they're calling for a recessionary period. So now you have interest rates hiking up a little bit, maybe a couple little surges of refis in between when the Fed hikes rates. But overall, I think over the next year and a half, higher interest rates, and then you'll see if a recession occurs, you'll see a refi opportunity again.
Okay, so this is a question I have. They're going to start lowering their balance sheet, and they're going to raise the federal fund rate. Lowering the balance sheet is bad for rates. Raising the federal fund rate is good for rates.
Yeah, like a tug of war.
So is it going to will it be somewhat of a play and what will increase until a certain point, and then it'll just stay there? Or how do you think that's going to play out?
It's a good question. They're doing it a lot faster than they ever did in the past. They're doing that roll-off a lot quicker than they ever did in the past. So it's going to be interesting to see and how it plays out. We're following a pandemic, which is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You know, so a lot of variables are occurring right now that are very new. So we have to see how bad the roll-off affects mortgage-backed security pricing. Let's see how bad inflation is, right? They're going to hike the Fed funds rate to curb inflation. Well, inflation, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Again, the CPI, Consumer Price Index, was at a 40-year high or so.
Right.
Right. It was 1982. It was its highest number since 7.5%. So if inflation continues to increase, they're going to do bigger hikes. If it starts to level out, they'll do smaller hikes. Well, the CPI number is a rolling 12 month. So basically, they take the monthly month-over-month number, and that's your data point, right? And they do the month-over-month number, that's your new data point. So the oldest months fall off, and then it shifts, and the newest number goes in. Well, this month and next month are numbers that, if a high number replaces it, it's like replacing like a zero or something, right? So like it's replacing like zero inflation, monthly inflation.
Right.
So like even like a 0.1, you know, it would make the annual number higher. But the next few months after, it starts to replace similar numbers. So I think you're going to see a natural level off of inflation, even just due to the data point. So once inflation levels off, the Fed might mitigate their hikes. So they might not even be hiking by that much, you know. So we got to see how it plays out with that. If inflation gets tamer and the Fed doesn't hike as much, this roll-off is going to really affect mortgage-backed security prices. So I think it's better to get into the market sooner than later. And, you know, and then take it from there, right, and go forward. If there's a recession, then it might be a very good refinance opportunity. But I think it's better to get into the market, you know, sooner than later, the housing market.
Right. And when you look at history, you look back in the late 70s, early 80s, and the late 90s, early 2000s, when the feds came in and they raised the federal fund rate, inflation was kept in check, it came down, and mortgage rates came down.
Yeah.
But at that point, did they have a balance sheet issue then too, or did they not? Do you know?
So I'm looking at charts of 2015. Going back then, they did have a balance sheet, but I don't know how they fared with it. Like, I know in the past, they rolled off the runoff on October in 2017, but they did it slowly over 2 years. They're talking about doing it a lot quicker now, which is scary and a lot And during like these Fed hikes, where in the past they did the Fed hikes first and then they rolled off the balance sheet. So they're doing it a little different. It seems like doing it more aggressively this time. So it's a good question, but I think this time is a little bit different than any time in the past,
okay,
following the pandemic.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that's so disappointing in this is that it seemed like everybody except for the feds knew that we were in a creating an inflationary period, and the feds acted like it was not going to continue. Yeah, transitory. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now it's like they're going over. I probably shouldn't say it, but it just seems like the government recently, I mean, it just no matter what they do, it messes. It's the opposite of what we should be doing.
Yes, they were transitory. That was their favorite word of the day, every day. And then all of a sudden it just went away. That all right. But it, all of a sudden it just all went away. And now inflation is a problem. And they thought it was so transitory. They mean it's not going to the consumer and it's going to be temporary. So, I think everybody listening, everyone in that room, everybody in my room over here, we feel inflation every day in food and meat pricing and gasoline pricing. You know, we feel it, we see it, you know,
right.
It's definitely around. So it's a real thing. And inflation, again, erodes the return on investment for bond traders. It hurts rates. It's no good for interest rates.
Yeah, and it's just a hidden tax, really. Inflation just takes away your money. I mean, anybody who's working, they just have less. Yeah. They have to spend more for whatever they're buying. Now, you know, we talked some about this, and maybe, but I would like to talk about, you know, how does comparative with the way this market is, the way the mortgage market is right now, how does this compare with, you know, or do we have a housing bubble issue? Are we looking at a possibility of a housing bubble issue? Kind of comparing this to 2007, 2008.
Yeah, definitely not. Complete different setup. So 2007, 2008, you had an influx of inventory and very little demand to meet that was purchasing the inventory. It was like it was a seesaw, like say in your head in one direction. Fast forward to current times, we have quadruple the amount of demand and no inventory, right?
Right.
Like, I don't want to say no, but very low levels of inventory. And I have the, existing home sales was recently released. And existing home sales is a report that measures, homes that are existing on the market. It's about 90% of the homes on the market. So now, I think the December one I pulled up, the December existing home sales, there was 910 homes for sale, okay? And that was down significantly from the prior report of 1.1 million. Now, you want to see where it was in 2007? There was 3.7 million homes for sale. So currently 910,000 homes for sale. 2007, it was 307 million homes with no demand. That's why there was a bubble. Homes were incorrectly priced. Mortgage lending was extremely easy to get. And there was, you know, very little red tape and regulation. And a total amount of totally too many homes on the market versus the demand, and that's why it burst, because the home pricing wasn't justified. Fast forward now, you know, it's following a pandemic, urban sprawl, people leaving city areas into rural areas, the demographics, there's more. So we look at demographic charts. We look at, like, the average age of a first-time home buyer is about 33 years old, and they make up about a third of the purchasing of new homes, of homes. And that batch of people of buying their homes for the first time, first-time home buyers, it grows every year. If you look at birth rate charts, and we look at birth rates, 33-year-olds are born in 89. Well, there was more births in 89 than 88. There were more births in 88 than 87. There are going to be more birth rates in 90 than 89. So there's more demand coming to market every single year than the prior year. So that causes a ton of more demand coming and more stress on the housing market. And I don't want to say stress, just more demand on the housing market. So that is very supportive of housing pricing. So that's why home pricing is legitimate. You know, that's a lot of demand with little inventory.
Yeah, right. It's a demand, supply and demand issue, really. We have a tremendous amount of demand, and for the reasons you're talking about, a lot of it is these first-time home buyers. So there's this huge demand, and it's not that there aren't. I know in Indianapolis we had record year last year in real estate sales. You probably did in New Jersey too. So it's not that they're selling a lot of houses. It's just that the demand is so high that it's very hard on the buyer. Sellers, it's a great market. So do you see that changing? I mean, it sounds like this 33 year, how long until that birth rate started to come down some?
It's going to start to level off after 1991, I think. But then it's still at the height of the height of the chart. And then it goes up again.
Okay.
So it kind of peaks. It levels off a little bit, and then it peaks again.
Okay.
So that birth rate chart is really shown very prudent and very very true to, mimicking where demand's coming from. It really helps.
Yeah.
See. And then also there's new construction too. Household completions is when a home is, so there's permits, you permit for the home,
right.
There's starts, which is the breaking of ground, and then there's completions, right, when the home is completed to ready to be sold. Well, that fell almost 9%, and they're down 6% year over year from December to December. So they're having, the builders are having major challenges with materials and labor. Backlogs of homes continue to grow. Homes authorized but not started yet increased by 1.1%, are now up 44% year over year. So there's a huge backlog of these new homes trying to help inventory levels, but it's just not getting there because of, again, labor and material pricing and shortages. So when that starts to get better, when labor comes back a little bit, when maybe material costs drop a little bit, and it's easier to get certain appliances. I know there's a huge appliance backlog, especially from those like microchips, right? Computer chips.
Right.
So when that stuff starts to get better, you'll see a better new construction report. And then also, I've thought about it. Think about existing homes. You might see people be more into listing their home now as COVID starts to waver or slowly go away and dissipate. People might be more accepting of people coming into their home. That might help. As interest rates start to creep up, that actually might help inventory too, because sellers might say, hey, here's my affordability batch. So let's not wait till interest rates get even higher. I want people to be able to afford this home and get it at this price. So they might list their home and say, this is the time to sell. They just made 18.8% the national average via the Case-Shiller of homes appreciation over the last 12 months. So there's super levels of appreciation taking place, and I'm sure homeowners are going to want to take advantage of that. So I think there might be a little bit more inventory coming into play, but it's still very tight. Demand is still very strong. The average time a home is listed right now is 19 days on the market, the national number. So we just need more homes on the market. That's really the answer.
Right. But we only have like 30 seconds for you to answer this question. But weren't we for the last 10 years short on a new home construction, which has also helped create this lack of inventory?
Correct, yes. New home construction has been lagging over the last 10 years, and it's just spiraled into a huge deficit of new home construction. Correct.
All right, that's what I thought. Well, hey, John, I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it. Your knowledge is unbelievable, and we appreciate you sharing.
Oh, thank you. Anytime. Thank you very much. I love being on your show.
Perfect.
See you again.
And if anybody needs to get a hold of me, you can go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Or you can call me at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. Thanks again, and have a great weekend.